Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Warriors.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best stand Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the official episode 73.
Dear God.
Yeah. Nope. 74.
74? Yep. Even better.
Deserves a crack.
So we got a bunch of stuff to get to. We got some news and gossip. We have a couple of new releases, and we have a preview of the month of January. That's going to be quick. Bulk of the show will probably be the news here. We got a little bit of bad news, and to help cushion the blow of the bad news, Ryan, you have some wholesome memes.
Oh, you actually want to give you a couple here?
Yeah, let's get a couple, and then we'll do the bad news, and then we'll get a couple more to help us feel better.
Okay, so just remember that if your post doesn't go well, when you only get 5 upvotes on your wholesome memes post and realize that internet points don't matter because you've slightly improved the lives of 5 strangers who could potentially be having a rough time.
What the hell?
That was long.
That was a long
one. It sounds like he's just trying to kid himself.
Okay, some bad news.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley was canceled for the Wii U.
Oh.
Yep. Have you guys played Stardew Valley?
I heard it's really good.
I mean, you wouldn't like it. It's Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Harvest Moon's awesome. It's a dating sim with farming.
Yeah. Have you played Stardew Valley?
I'm not, no.
You probably really dig it, because it's Harvest Moon.
Is that a pun intended? Would I dig it?
No, it's not. And I hate you for pointing that out.
Oh, my God.
And it's, instead of coming to the Wii U, it's coming to the Switch. So, not entirely bad news there. It's bad news if you really want to play this game on a Nintendo system, and if you can't afford to buy a Switch, that is a really particular subset of people. Because this game is going to be available, it already is available in a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm. It's a game for the computer!
Right. So, the other bad news that I got here is another cancellation for the Wii U. This one is Yooka-Laylee, the new game from former developers of Rare. I don't know if we've talked about this in a whole lot in this show.
Do you also get the bongo drums so you can form a small band?
You need to write them a letter. I will get you some paper.
Yeah, it seems intentional. It seems like they're trying to build a awful band that no one wants to listen to.
Up next on the Nintendo Switch, mariachi.
Oh, and it's Yooka. It's like Yooka-Laylee.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a 3D platforming collectathon game, much in the vein of Banjo-Kazooie or Donkey Kong 64, and made by former Rare developers who left Rare quite some time ago, formed their own studio. The thing is, this game was kickstarted. Wii U was supposed to be the lead platform for this particular game. It got fully funded, of course, and they have canceled it due to unforeseen, quote-unquote, technical issues. And this game is supposed to be out in April. It seems likely, I don't know if they've given official confirmation, but it seems likely that they are going to do a Switch version. They are looking into it. Nintendo is supposed to be helping them look into it. They are making refunds available to people who kickstarted the game. They're also offering code changes so you can get it for another platform if you wish, whether they're going to offer that for Switch, but you can also get it for PC, Xbox One,
That's
PS4.
What they're saying here, yeah. It's going to the Switch, so...
Okay, do we got official confirmation, apparently?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Okay,
yeah.
Good
job doing your research.
The thing with this is that it's different from Stardew Valley because this game was kickstarted. And the Wii U version was supposed to be the lead platform. So yeah, I'm a little bit more understanding of people being frustrated. And I think people are fully within their right to be frustrated by this. Because if you kickstarted it for Wii U and you really wanted to play it on Wii U and you can't afford to buy other hardware, you don't really have any sort of recourse here. Like you essentially have to either buy a PS4 or an Xbox One or a Switch to get the game that you helped fund.
They said they're giving refunds to those
things. Yeah, you can get refunded if you want. But, I mean, it's got to be annoying
to
have to...
It's a bummer. It's also becoming such a habit of... Especially these Kickstarter games. Like, Hyper Light Drifter is a game that is built for a Nintendo fan.
Yeah, and it was funded for Wii U and canceled that version.
Yeah, they just couldn't make it happen, which is sad. It's really sad, because it's a fantastic game. And, you know, again, it feels like it's a love letter to fucking Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of it's not as frustrating in a vacuum, but this, and we've talked about this before, this sort of thing happens over and over again for Nintendo platforms. And we use this word before, but it feels exploitative to where, like, hey, we know that we can get funding if we tell them, like, hey, this Nintendo platform's a possibility if we hit this amount.
How do they even speculate on that?
There was actually.
I mean, like, what? How does the because if you're the one putting it up there, like, don't you have to have some kind of agreement with Nintendo that this is the thing that's going to happen, or no, you can't just speculate and be like, oh, if you give me $1 million, I'll make this happen.
You can make that your Kickstarter stretch goal. Yeah,
that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean, because if Nintendo is not actively backing it and promoting it, then.
Oh, that's the thing with crowdsourcing your game development is you can promise all these things to try to get more money that you really don't have any idea if you're going to be able to follow through.
Yeah.
And the opposite story here is from Yacht Club, who, of course, made Shovel Knight, which is a game. Have we all played Shovel Knight?
Yeah, I played a little bit. Yeah.
It's a game we all like. And they just revealed a few details on their next expansion, which is Spectre of Torment, where you get to play as Spectre Knight, the ghosty one that flies around and carries a sickle. It's going to be like an even more different expansion from even Plague of Shadows, where you play as Plague Knight, the little guy who throws the potions around, who wears the gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this character will be able to like wall run and wall dash, and they're doing like a serious rework on the game. And this was a stretch goal for their Kickstarter that they hit the funding for their stretch goal. So they're following through, they're making this expansion, and they're releasing it for no money. And it's gotten to a point, like, they released the Plague of Shadows update for no money. They're going to release this. It's gotten to a point where they essentially have people asking them, like, can we give you more money for this? Because you've been making this game for several years. Like, they've released, like, physical version. They had, like, an amiibo. So they've found other ways to get more revenue out of this game. But they've done very extensive updates, and all for just the entry-level price. I don't know. It's interesting to see how some people are able to pull off what they promise and other ones just run into issues. And, you know, I don't think that Playtonic, that's the name of the developer that's doing Yooka-Laylee.
And then we get Mighty Number 9.
Mighty Number 9 was just a fucking train wreck all over the place. And I beat it. I finished it. And I'm going to talk about that on the mini show because it is indeed a train wreck. But like Mighty No. 9 is another example of another botched project. And that one's just not botched on Nintendo system. That was just botched across the board. But I think that maybe people have lost a little bit of faith, a little bit of steam in funding these Kickstarter projects. Like crowdsourcing video games, I think has left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths because video games, big surprise, take a long time to make. So you don't see...
Well, we've gotten into a bad habit of, as consumers of video games, to, like, they realize we want to play these games, like, now.
Mm-hmm.
And we will do the pre-orders of unfinished games, we'll do the DLCs.
We'll release terrible, unfinished games, yeah.
Yeah, like, where we're going to patch the online in a month, like, mm-hmm. that you can go ahead and buy it full price right now.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know, we just, I don't know, we're suckers.
Yeah, I mean, it's very
unless
much
we're this... buying, you know, $60 Super Nintendo cartridges.
Right.
Which $100.
We'll do our research. But I don't know. It's this consumer culture around this, what should be considered an art form, but instead we get so obsessed with the business side of things. And other art forms, to my knowledge, don't go through these sort of cycles of hype and disappointment. You know, I'm sure that things with a lot of fame base.
Like, could you imagine if somebody released a song where they were like, here's the song, but if you want vocals on top of it, it's an additional 50 cents. Like, that's kind of what they do. It's really, really shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge bummer. But anyway, let's move on to some happier stuff. There's a new Zelda trailer. We watched it a couple times.
Or do we need a meme thing?
Do we want a meme? Do you have a meme?
Oh, hand? I don't. I got a short one. I found a short one.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
It's good. Let her up with
so you guys know the "and it's gone" from South Park, yeah. Where it's like people are investing their monies.
Yeah.
And the title says, I'll just browse our wholesome memes with a negative attitude, and it's gone.
So there's a new Zelda trailer.
The hell.
We all watched it. It was a short little teaser. It was like a minute and a half. What'd you guys think?
It looked pretty.
Yeah.
Zelda's got a hand.
Sure
that's
does.
Great. Zelda's I think got that's hands. Wonderful, isn't it? I mean, Link's a little bummed.
It's probably hands. Yeah. Like it's probably Zelda. Like yeah. I don't think actually I do think you did eventually see her face. It's most likely Zelda, right?
That's good. I think that's great.
They brought back the bird people.
Yeah, look.
It looks or like someone, a bird person came back.
Or someone who looks very similar to a Riddle. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
That was the name of them.
But
I only played Wind Waker once, so forgive me for not remembering that.
You got a
very obscure.
You got to get on that. You got to play Wind Waker again.
I don't have a working GameCube.
What happened to your GameCube?
Don't remember.
Huh. Were you doing
I lent it to a friend of mine, and then years later, a different friend of mine gave it back to me.
Oh, weird.
Like, it was a very weird course of events that this GameCube has gone through. Hmm. I bought it originally from a friend of mine.
Was it the same friend who gave it back?
No, it was a different friend.
I had no idea.
So there's at least four people that have owned this.
Yes.
You're saying.
Yeah. I had no idea you had so many friends. Like, I thought we were it.
Thanks for that.
That's generous calling us friends.
Ryan?
I'm not even a well-wisher.
Ryan?
What's up?
I'm going to need another meme for that one.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, words hurt. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
So, I mean, we didn't really... I'm sure that if you watch some people's breakdowns of these trailers, you get to glean a lot of information. But, you know, we saw a little bit of gameplay, not too much. Like, some combat on horseback, which looked pretty cool. Fighting one of those guardian things.
I think Link was holding an axe in one shot.
They showed him wielding different weapons, like axes and spears and broadswords and claymores, yeah. Yeah, so it's cool to see that continue.
There was one shot where he was glowing. He was kind of freaking out about it. Like,
yeah, maybe he just like,
oh my god, my herpes have gotten ridiculous. Like, it had one of those kind of looks on his face.
Oh, my pants are tight.
So they also, I don't think it was at this event. Like, they showed this trailer at the Game Awards, which I guess people have gotten into a habit of doing, like revealing or like showing stuff at the Game Awards. You guys watch the Game Awards?
I imagine it's masturbatory. It's like, aren't we wonderful?
Well, I think it's a bit more tolerable than, like Spike TV used to do their own Game Awards. Like, this one was actually set up by people who have made video games and worked in the video game industry. So,
oh, okay.
It's not a big commercial.
I know nothing of this.
Okay.
So,
I watched Spike TV's once.
That sounds just awful.
It was really painful.
But like, people will...
Oh, look at that Call of Duty guy award. Who cares?
I think the thing about the Spike TV one is that it was a lot of like celebrities who would come out and present an award when they knew fuck all about video games.
Yeah, they know nothing about it. Like, oh, who gives a shit?
But this time it's actually people who are interested in video games deciding on what games get what awards. And actually, you know, the past couple years it's been doing all right. I never really paid too much attention to what was nominated and what was winning. I just thought it was cool that video games were being nominated for awards by their peers. And I was interested in watching it this time around, and then I found out there was an award for Best Narrative. I was like, nah, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Oh, I've actually...
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I'm looking at God. The winner is announced as of December 1st of this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of cool, because I played some of these games. Overwatch. Overwatch was the game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Overwatch. Fantastic.
Blizzard was the best game direction.
Mm-hmm.
They made some drastic changes this year. With Hearthstone, with World of Warcraft, the latest expansion with Legion, mm-hmm. and then Overwatch is coming out, and they're still... doing new things with Diablo 3.
You got an erection, dude.
It's getting nuts. I can't help it, man. I get like this when I talk about Blizzard and Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. Best independent game? A game I was raving about a while ago, Inside.
Oh, that's
best
right.
Best art direction, Inside as well. Pokemon Go, best mobile handheld game. Shocker. Rez Infinite, best VR game, which looks amazing. Did you guys ever play the original Rez?
No.
PS2,
was it?
Dreamcast, I want to say. Oh, no, maybe PS2.
Right. Actually, I think you might be right. I think it might have been originally for Dreamcast, but then it got moved over to PS2 after Dreamcast died.
That game was a trip. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, apparently Nintendo won 2 years ago for Best Developer. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, they made a lot of games 2 years ago. Not so much this year.
Yeah. Best multiplayer game was Splatoon.
2 years ago, yeah.
What?
Yeah,
how about that?
Oh, this is 2 years ago?
Yeah, Splatoon was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm hopping around years. Oh. But yeah, this is it's an interesting list. You're right. This isn't... This seems like a bit more formal.
Yeah.
I would not give Splatoon that. It's a pretty... It's a fun game. It's a cool idea, but I mean...
What was its competition? See, you don't know. You don't know fuck all. That's why they give awards, not you.
Are you talking about multiplayer
you.
Games over all consoles? I mean, there were...
Yes.
I'm sure at that year there was a ton of multiplayers that came out.
None were better than Splatoon, according to them.
A competition. Like, well, let's see who won it the next year. So they actually went on to...
Like Call of Duty.
Best team game of the year was Optic Gaming. That's the team of the year, excuse me.
Okay.
Where is it? Oh, Counter-Strike Global Offensive was the esports game of the year. I guess you can say that multiplayer.
Mm. Anyway, we're on the wire.
Best narrative. Yeah, John's favorite topic.
I am curious about that. What is that?
Her story?
I don't care.
Because it has the word her in it?
Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
Why do you hate women, Wes?
Was this year's.
Did you because they hate me, John, all right? It needs to be mutual. It's not my fault. I didn't start this.
Hey, best role-playing game of the year.
That's more important.
Witcher 3.
Oh, nice.
Ah, crap.
I thought you liked Witcher 3.
No. I hate it.
You don't like Witcher 3?
No, it's clunky. I hate the thing.
Huh.
Best family game.
Was it not buggy enough like Skyrim? What was the problem?
No, though. I just don't like the way they executed things. I just find the game dull.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they talked about some Zelda amiibo functionality. Just after the Game Awards, I believe. And I wasn't paying too much attention.
Oh, no wonder why they're talking about it. It's the Breath of the Wild is the most anticipated game of the year.
There was an award for most anticipated?
Yeah, I guess what people are really pumped about. We're really polishing their knobs over, like Wes here.
I mean, come on.
It's not a Blizzard game, but hey.
It's freaking Breath of the Wild. It's Zelda. I mean, come on.
Why would they need an award for most anticipated game, though? That's...
I don't know.
That's weird. So, we got a few games.
That's a good point. It's like the Oscars would be like, the movie everyone's really pumped about next year.
Right. The Grammys, like, who's got another song coming out? We don't know what it is yet. But...
It's probably an excuse to showcase. Like, okay, that's actually a good comparison. Maybe it's like the Oscars, how they play music all the time, because they got to fill it with something. So they, like, they play all the songs from the scores that are up for nomination. So like, this is a way for them to be like, hey... You know, bring it in here.
That's essentially saying, hey, we made the best trailer this year. That's
maybe that should be an award, best trailer.
Best trailer for a game that we have no idea what it's about.
Well, trailers are a huge deal now, I feel like, with games. People are always going
to they need to be.
Could they do, like, a game for, like, best demo? A game award for best demo? Like, this game showed the best at
E3.
That
seems stupid. That sounds...
Just as dumb to me as best, most anticipated, best trailer, and best narrative.
I agree with you with that. That does sound really stupid. Well, not...
Also, most demos have a $60 price tag now. So, there's that.
So, we got some game announcements. Goodbye Box Boy was announced for 3DS in Japan. This is the third installment of the Box Boy series. And from the title, I think a lot of people are implying that it's the last one. They might have said it's the last one. I don't think there's any reason to believe it is, in fact, the last one. If it sells well enough, they'll bring it back one day. And there's going to be a retail version, at least in Japan, for all three games bundled together with an amiibo. A Box Boy amiibo. It's... probably just going to be a
now,
cube.
Is it a boy who moves boxes, or is it a box that is a boy? Is sentient.
I have discussed Box Boy 1 and 2 many times in podcast. I'm not backtracking for you here. News.
But would you do it for both of us?
No. THQ Nordic has said that they are working on 2 Switch games. They haven't said which ones. It'll probably happen on January 12th, which is when the big Switch reveal is. But they do hold a lot of, like, dormant franchises, the license to a lot of dormant franchises, like Darksiders, Nordic Games has that license, to Blob, Sphinx, just a lot of, like, weird, like, this weird conglomeration of licenses they've brought up.
Mm-hmm.
The Switch, speaking of the Switch, might have GameCube games on the virtual console, and this rumor came from Eurogamer.
That's fun.
The 3 rumored ones right now are, of course, like Mario Sunshine, Luigi's Mansion, and Melee.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a pretty solid lineup. I don't know. I wonder how... Like, if they brought Melee out on a virtual console service, I don't think it would be too far above the realm of possibility to say they might patch in some online play. I mean, they did do some wireless trading for the Pokemon virtual console games. It's not usually Nintendo's MO to add that sort of stuff in. But if they did add online play to Melee and up the resolution a bit, do they need to make another Smash Brothers game?
Probably.
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, this is the one people seem to love oh so much. Like, the Melee version is still the one that's played competitively yet.
It is, because it's such a faster pace than Brawl. I mean, just some of the things you do in that. I mean, there's so much micro... I don't want to say micromanaging because it's a freaking fighter.
There's advanced techniques.
Yeah, techniques. There's a lot of stuff like that they didn't bring into Brawl. So, I mean...
But you know what they did bring into Brawl? Random tripping. That was great.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Just randomly, just...
But, you know, I don't know what this says. Like, if this thing is true and if they do go so far as to add an online play, what does that say about the rumors also that the Wii U version is going to get upported to Switch with some new stuff to it? I don't know. Maybe they do that, maybe they don't. That is also just another rumor. Maybe they do a whole nother Smash Brothers from the ground up for Switch. We'll see. I don't know.
I hope they do.
Yeah, I hope they do too. But I don't know. Do you need more than one Smash Brothers on a platform? If they bring up the Wii U version and add stuff to it, maybe continue to add some DLC to it throughout the life of the system, do they make another one? Or do they just take this Wii U version and say, let's extend the life
of this one? They extend the life of one that is a generation behind, where there is a new one they could just do?
Well, that's the thing. And
keep going with Brawl. Why would they go all the way to Melee and just start doing that? Just because they play more of it competitively?
Well, here's the reasoning. And of course, this is all just rumor and speculation. Nintendo has not even said that they are going to bring Wii U games to the Switch. It's just a general belief that people have. Because the Wii U sold so poorly, they did not maximize the sales they could have got out of Smash for Wii U. They move it up, add some stuff, get a new DLC plan going, then they'll have to make another one. And the difference between doing that with this game and Brawl is this game's already in HD.
Yeah, but then doing that, when people start feeling cheated,
maybe
as well, like especially those people who had played Brawl, because Brawl is also big
Brawl is the Wii one.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as big competitively. I think Brawl is
I'm talking about the Wii U one.
Yeah.
The one
that did not have a subtitle. Just Smash for Wii U.
Yeah, Smash for Wii U, that one.
Once again, proving that they're terrible at naming things.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't,
well, they can do, like, kind of what every other fighting series does when they come out with a new one. Just Super.
It's right.
Like super Melee.
That would be amazing they named this Super Smash Brothers for Wii U on Switch. And they would do it. They would do that.
No, that's kind of a thing. Like, think of how, and I'm not saying it's a good thing, it's kind of shitty, I guess, in some regards, but, like, there was Mortal Kombat 3, and then there was Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3.
Hmm.
You know? There's, think of how many incarnations of Street Fighter 2 we had.
Yeah.
I know that games have been made in the past 20 years, by the way, but I'm just going to go with what I know really well. And that's, like, there was Street Fighter 2 World Warriors, and there was Turbo, and there was Hyper
New Fire, Challengers.
New Challengers. Like, think of how many times
Alpha.
They kept releasing the same game over.
This sounds like bad names for Power Rangers.
Yeah. Hyper Fighting Turbo Edition.
But I don't know. I think that they could. Would some people feel burned? Maybe.
Oh,
but they also have the advantage of already being familiar with it, where there's going to be...
No, people will not be okay with that. They want new stuff. They don't want a repackaged...
Skyrim remaster just came out.
Tweet. Yeah,
Well, actually...
Start with me about these remasters. That's...
Well, Street Fighter 2 did a clever thing on the 25th anniversary, where they released the 25th anniversary edition, and in it, you could cross over games. So you could take a original World Warrior character and set him up against Alpha 3 character. Like, you could pick the version of the game you wanted to play. Hmm. So you could do Hyper Fighting, you could do Turbo, you could do one of the original core, try to fight him against some of the newer characters. Like, it was kind of fun. And granted, it was a little... It's weird crossing over other properties with games that they were never meant to play with in the first place, but you could totally do that same thing, right? Like, you could pick... I don't know. Who's a character that's been in all of them? Ness, right? Like, imagine if
Mario.
You got... Mario. You could pick the version of Mario you wanted to be.
Yeah.
And try, like, Mario Melee.
I mean, I just don't think that... Let's say that they do upport the Wii U version. Game of the Year edition's got all the DLC, and then they continue forward with the DLC plan to extend the life of it. I just don't see them making a new one if they already have a version. I don't think there's room in the ecosystem for a console to have two of these games.
All right, I will give you... let's go on the Skyrim tangent really briefly on this.
Yeah. Come to the Switch.
Let's do this. Yeah, it is coming to the Switch. When Skyrim was first announced and everything, there were people who were like, all right, that's pretty cool and everything, but it was announced during... What was it announced during? I want to say
Are you talking about the E3. Original Star Wars?
Skyrim, the remaster.
Okay.
When it was announced during E3, I think.
Okay.
Which was a cool thing. Most people were kind of like, that's all right. And there are a lot of, like, people who haven't played Skyrim that picks this up now and started playing it, which is great because it's a fantastic game. But diehard Bethesda fans who are really into the Elder Scrolls series... I would say they were generally mostly very disappointed that they announced a remastered instead of just a new one.
Well, I mean, you always want new content.
And that's like, what I'm saying. Some people, when it comes to this, if they bring over the Wii U Super Smash Bros. Onto the Switch, they're going to be like, all right, that's kind of cool. But they're going to be disappointed because they're going to just want a new one.
Well, I think the difference is if they make a new Elder Scrolls, it is going to be different from Skyrim. Yes, it's yeah, like it's gonna be some of the mechanics might be the same. It might have like a different visual. Like it is going to be different enough. Like this is a new game. Whereas Smash Brothers is more iterative. It's like, okay, who's on this new roster?
Okay.
It's more like a sports game. Like Madden or NBA or MLB. Like, okay, what's the roster updated? What new modes are in here?
Because people who are diehard to those kind of series fans are excited when they get the new one.
I don't think there's enough of those people for it to really be a concern. Most people are going to be like, okay, I want to unlock the characters and jump into either local or online battles and play this game. I don't think there's enough people concerned about all the extra little bells and whistles that the most overrated developer in all of gaming, besides Kojima, Masahiro Sakurai, likes to throw into all of his stuff. He bloats his games, and people just want to get down to brass tacks with this thing.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I hope he's listening.
Take that guy.
Wow. Do you have a meme for him?
I don't. You know, find a sad Sakurai.
My browser crashed.
Anyway, like, I keep...
He makes children aren't listening.
He makes really good games in Smash Brothers, Brawl notwithstanding. Brawl is fine. It's not really good. But he throws in all of these different modes, which are a fun distraction, but that's ultimately what they are. I think, and if they just did the Wii U version.
So would you think he should just release it without those distractions? The game would be super thin at
fine.
That point.
The game would be focused, is what it would be. It's like playing these 200-hour RPGs. Like, yeah, it's awesome to go do the side stuff. Should you do it, though?
And then you got those people who do enjoy those things. I mean, Titanfall was originally released completely multiplayer. They had no story mode or anything to it. Titanfall 2, they're like, oh, we messed up. Here's a story mode.
And I hear it's really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
so
great.
This would be the same thing with Smash Brothers.
They made a video game. So you're thinking that they could get a lot of interest... A lot more interest in the game. I mean, it's already a pretty interesting game. If they did, like, a better Subspace Emissary.
I'm not saying you're trying to defend the story mode of Smash Brothers. It's a fun thing to do. But the focus is the multiplayer, but it is a fun thing to have. I'd rather have it than not have it.
Okay.
Because I did play through it a couple of times. It was fun.
All I'm saying that is they could probably make it work.
Yeah.
And there would be people who are bummed out, but what are they going to do? Not buy Smash Brothers? Are they really going to not buy it? The people who would be that upset over it, of course they're going to buy it. Anyway, where were we? We were talking about news.
This went in such a weird tangent.
What a weird show. Oh, the rumor that Smash Brothers Melee might come to the Switch. There's also the rumor that it may even support the GameCube controller adapter for the Wii U. Remember that thing?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That still is a thing?
Yeah.
All right.
And the virtual console rumors also suggest that you won't be able to move all your virtual console games to the Switch for free, but there'll be a small upgrade fee, much like there was from the Wii to the Wii U, which, okay, sure.
How much was the fee?
Like $1.50.
Well, there's...
Yeah, no big deal.
Was that per game, or...?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't even move all of my games over. I think I just might have moved one or two, and then all of my NES virtual console stuff is still in the Wii mode of my Wii U. So, I mean, you pay, you're basically paying to be able to play it on a gamepad, which is cool, but not, like, all of the NES games that I bought on the Wii, not all of them are available on the Wii U, which is annoying. But anyway, I digress. There's a bunch of other Switch rumors that we won't get into, because we'll just wait for the January 12th reveal and go with actual information. But there's, like, a bunch of patents that were... discovered that revealed a bunch of things that they're patents. Like one of them was a VR like dock for your face for the Switch pad.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, it might be a thing, it might not. Patents get filed all the time. Some of them never become anything.
That'd be a giant VR thing.
Right.
Just this.
Right.
You don't see your face.
Right. It's you just have to slide the whole thing in front of your stupid face.
You could also use this on a motorcycle for protection.
Another Switch rumor, more about games, From Software maybe working on a Dark Souls trilogy for the Switch would be kind of cool.
That'd be alright.
The rumor was that they did get Dark Souls 3 running on the Switch, but they weren't sure if they were going to bring it over yet. I don't know why they would put all the work into getting it work. I don't know, whatever. I don't make games. I don't know
Dark
why they
Souls
would
do great. That.
Yeah.
As usual, Nintendo.
I think you would enjoy them,
yeah.
John.
I might.
I think you all would, right. Because there is zero story unless you want it.
Oh, good. That sounds delightful.
It's just go to this area, find this, and hack these things up.
Perfect. Yes. Why am I there? Don't give a shit. All right, and the last bit of news that I wanted to touch on before we get into some other topics here. The NES Classic, the very hard-to-get NES Classic, released in November.
You know what, John? If they do release the Dark Souls trilogy for the Switch, I will buy them for you.
Deal. Free games.
I will buy that for you.
So the NES Classic sold just under 200,000 units in November.
Yeah.
To which... That was the sellout. That was their sellout number. They had this thing and were like, you know how many we can sell? 196,000.
Yeah.
I think that undershot a little bit.
That's true. They should have done so many more.
Right. It should have been at least 2 million. I mean, I think that this either shows that there was some sort of manufacturing issue. And you know, we don't have numbers for December yet. So we'll see how, because it has been restocked in certain places. Still very hard to get, though. I think that this either shows there's some serious manufacturing issue, or they way undershot to the point of, like, whoever thought that that was what they would be able to move, that was their conservative estimate. Like, some person needs to be relegated to a closet somewhere. Like, this is your new office, now your job is to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, well, considering how few were made, I think you actually bring up a good point. Maybe there is some sort of failure along the production line.
Yeah, and a lot of things go into this. We don't know, maybe, like, there was a strike at the factory that produces the plastic for this thing. Like, yeah, and that's the kind of shit we'll never know about.
Yeah, and that does make sense, because that is so lowball. 200,000 units. Yeah. I mean, I figured they had to have understood that there would be more desire for this. And given the price point, was, I thought, pretty reasonable, considering what you're getting.
Yeah, the thing we'll never know, because, God, what podcast was this? I was listening to an episode of Retronauts, and the host, Jeremy Parrish, had this really amazing phrase that describes Nintendo perfectly. I'm going to paraphrase it here. Nintendo views transparency as this terrible affliction that only happens to other people.
That's a good point.
We'll never fucking know. Mm-hmm. We'll never know what Nintendo was thinking. Yeah. And if this was intentional or if some sort of accident occurred.
Well, I mean, they stuck their toe in water and it turned to gold. So maybe, you know, who knows, maybe in 2 years or maybe even less than 2 years, there could be a Super Nintendo console like we dreamed about. So I imagine we will probably see more than 200,000 of those.
Now, what's the funniest thing in this holiday? I was sitting at work and somebody calls up, "Hey, do you have that NES, the Nintendo?" No.
Sure don't.
It is the 23rd. You will not find that.
It is a Turbo Man doll.
I talked to a customer. He was like, "Yeah, I went to GameStop and there was a line for it. Apparently, they were getting a shipment in, and I got there. I was third in line. And they were sold out before I got to the counter."
Oh, shit. They only got
they
two?
They got two in.
God damn.
And the guys waiting in line were there for over 5 hours waiting for
it. Oh, my God. All they had was Booster.
Pure nonsense.
I
was cracking up.
I don't know if I told this story on the podcast, but about a month ago, I went with my dad to a GameStop. First time I'd stepped into GameStop in a long ass time. And
he bought a PS4.
He bought a PS4. He wanted me to go with him to buy a PS4 for, I don't know, moral support or something. But
he's like, "Son, I want 11-year-olds to call me a fag."
Well, let's get you a nice headset. But as he was paying for it, the clerk there, we were just chatting, and I was like, "Hey, you guys got any NES Classics?" And we both had a good laugh out of it. Because of course, like, no one's got any of these fucking things. Mm-hmm. You know who does, though? At work, there is an arcade. And you know those prize wheels? Like, you just, like, drop in X amount of coins, and you press the button to stop it, and you have a chance at winning. There's a fucking NES Classic, one of those cheap ass. And I think tomorrow, now that I'm thinking about it, I might go just to, like, that manager of that arcade, like, "Hey, can I just buy that?"
I think this isn't like a limited production.
No.
They'll make more.
Yeah, it's still there if somebody doesn't want it by then.
Right. I mean,
I'm sure somebody will put like $50 in for that thing.
I mean, these are just like it is the exact same situation as Amiibo, which is why a lot of people suspect something less than ethical is going on here. They're trying to manufacture some. Yeah. Because it's going to be very hard to find at first, and then, you know, in a few, hopefully a few weeks, but maybe a few months, if 200,000 is all they're able to muster in a month, you know, you'll be able to find these things with relative ease.
It's going to be like that Futurama episode with the iPhone. I guess we may have one more in the back. Let me take a look.
Check it. How dare you reference anything post season 5? How dare you?
Sorry, that was the one good joke.
God damn.
Sorry. It was relevant.
Do you guys get any good Christmas loot? That was a holiday.
I got some cool clothes and a tablet.
Oh, yeah, what kind?
Just the Amazon Fire.
Oh, nice.
I got it as a means to replace my Kindle that died.
Amazon is the best website in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I use it for, like, mostly YouTube because it really it's not as powerful as, like, a iPad.
But better. It is better.
No. You can do so much more on it.
It's Amazon.
It pains me to say that, but you can do more on an iPad than you can on Amazon Fire.
But you should buy an Amazon Fire anyway. It's
much cheaper. Much cheaper.
How about you, Ryan? Did you get anything cool?
I gotta say, pretty sparse for me this year.
Yeah?
This is probably the worst Christmas I've ever had.
Oh my god.
Suck it, Ryan's family.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got some decent stuff, but like, yeah, not all that much, really. I got like... This is so sad. It's pathetic. I got Tupperware,
which is
a gift that people can apparently give.
Did you guys get underwear?
No.
My mom always buys me underwear, and it's the best. I'm always happy. I'm like, yay, fresh undies.
I got some nice, fantastic. I got not like socks like I'm wearing now, but like really cushiony, comfy socks, but it's Florida, so.
I got a box of bullets.
They'll be getting a couple.
Really? Nice. Did you just put them in the microwave and just see what happens?
See what happens.
You stopped me mid-sentence there. What the fuck are you doing with a box of bullets?
Yeah, my mom's husband wants to take me and my sister to the shooting range. So he bought me a box of bullets. He's like, here you go. We're going to go fire some guns.
Who are you going to
shoot?
It's
going to
be fun. Yeah.
I don't think
it's a shooting range. There's like a piece of paper. It's not like they're actual people. Like these are criminals in death row.
You're gonna get there and he's gonna be like, hand me the bullets. And he's like, now run.
I want to tell you about this thing, and you may have heard of them, where you can play these sorts of games entirely on video. You don't have to go anywhere. You can pretend to shoot things from the comfort of your own home.
John, I want to take you fire a real gun. I think
I'm not going to do that.
You will fire that, and you'll be like, wow, this is...
How about I just
feel so empowered right now.
How about I just chase you around and throw bullets at you? Can we do that? Just give me the box of bullets, and I'll just toss them.
I'm actually very good with a gun.
God damn it.
I want to get good with the mechanics of not shooting it, right? Like, I want to be really quick with reloading and unloading. And
twirling it in your hand.
Oh, yeah, like popping the bullet out of the thing and catching
pulling it in and out of the holster.
Oh, yeah,
all fancy like.
Oh, yeah, totally. Doing the revolver.
Leonardo DiCaprio's got shit on me. This is just...
Getting rid of the safety guard, because fuck everybody. You know? Keeping one up in the chamber. Oh! Yes, this is a great idea.
When are you doing this?
When are we going?
I have no idea.
I'm just picturing you as Christian Bale in that Equilibrium movie.
Gun kata, can I bring a... I'm going to bring a samurai sword. I'd be like, I'm ready, guys. This is
for real. I'm going to cut Tating's fucking face off.
I got
some stuff. I mean, I made up pretty well because I asked everyone for fucking gift cards. I was like, yeah, gift card. Mm-hmm. Give me some cash. Let me buy my own shit. And that's exactly what I did for everyone else. Because that's what a loving son and brother does. Like, buy your own present. You know what you want. I have no idea. So, and Dez got me a nice big stack of X-Men comics. Like, a big fat stack.
In your notes, I can see your notes. And yeah. You say, mostly astonishing. I wish you had capitalized the M. So it was like this knockoff series of X-Men. It's the mostly astonishing.
It's the all right. They do okay. They try hard.
Yeah, it's the spinoff of like freaking Nightcrawler and Jubilee.
it's Jubilee. It's Forge. Gambit's in there now. Yeah, I mean, I got myself a pair of shoes and a belt, which I really needed. I got a few games. I got Persona 4 for PS2.
Nice.
I stocked up on RPGs. I don't know why. I already have a backlog of them. I got Star Ocean for PS2, Suikoden for PS1, and I also picked up
Advance Wars 2.
Yeah, Advance Wars 2.
What's the title on that?
Black Hole Rising.
Okay.
I mean, I keep complaining about how they don't make new Advance Wars games, but here's this one I have not played, so I just decided, like, you know, it's... I should stop complaining. There is one that I haven't played before.
Is that the one that just basically has like even more tiers you can go up essentially? So it's sort of like there's even more advanced tanks, even more advanced plays, or planes. Because there was like Days of Ruin, I think, and there's like one where you tag out.
Okay, yeah, so
Dual Strike.
I'm not sure what they do in Advanced Wars 2. It's the GBA one. So there's the original and then 2, which are both on GBA. Then Dual Strike is one where you're able to tag out.
Yeah.
Where your COs just become these overpowered monsters, where as soon as you fill up your gauge, you can essentially just win.
Yeah,
and Days of Ruin, and then you have like Neo tanks and Mega tanks and all these different planes and like aircraft carriers and shit. It's got tons of different stuff.
Yeah,
Days of Ruin is the one that sort of takes it back down a notch and makes it to where like you have your COs and you have your powers, but they're not overpowered. Just gives you a small advantage, and it's much more heavily emphasizing actual strategy and unit placement and capturing buildings and timely attacks, that kind of thing. So the Advanced Wars Days of Ruin is probably my favorite in the series. I don't think that's a very popular choice, but to me, it just is the most strategic and the most methodical of them. Anyway. So yeah, oh, and Shantae, half genie hero, I also got. But we'll get to that.
Difficult to spell, Shantae.
Yeah. There are just vowels everywhere.
Yeah.
But let's take a quick break and then come back with some new releases. We got a couple of new releases to get to here. So first up, Mario Maker came out on the 3DS earlier this month, so you can get the diet version of Mario Maker if you so choose. But you know, it gives us an excuse to talk about Mario Maker again.
Yeah.
Have you been playing still?
A little bit here and there, but not that much, honestly. I mean, in 30-minute chunks of time, just kind of playing out of people's maps.
I booted it up for the first time in quite some time tonight, because you know, just to do a little prep work for the show. And for like 20 minutes, Ripley just wanted to hold the gamepad and put blocks everywhere. She wanted to color in Mario, as she put it. I had to rip it away from her eventually because she had to go to bed.
She was not happy.
No, she was real disappointed about that, but life's full of disappointments. You'll get used to it.
I was just about to use that word, that, you know, you're leaving your child with disappointment.
Too bad Ryan wasn't here with one of his memes.
Yeah,
so it would have made it feel a lot better.
Yeah, I wonder if there's an inverse of wholesome memes where it's, like, depressing memes.
But I found this one guy. His name was in Japanese. I don't know how to pronounce those characters. But he made a lot of runner courses, which are courses that I really like. I've made a few of those myself. And one of them was particularly tough. I eventually had to tap out because we had to come record. But it's one of those... I probably should have followed the guy because I really like those style levels where you just have to constantly keep on moving. And he did some interesting stuff with springs to force your momentum. Whereas I'd never thought of like starting you off on a spring so that you start running. It's a good idea. You should try that. Anyway, so speaking of Mario and running... Super Mario Run came out on iOS.
Yes. Yeah.
And I downloaded it. I haven't paid for the full version, but I plan to. Have you guys played it at all?
No.
A little bit.
Yeah?
I don't have an iOS device.
Oh, that's right. You don't have an iPad anymore.
Because they're dumb.
Okay. You were just praising, you were singing the praises of the iPad just a minute ago.
Yeah,
you were pretty
like
hyped
painful.
On that iPad.
It was kind of, it was a painful praise.
It hurt you inside?
It was like, it did.
I don't
did.
Understand what the problem is. If you like it, you like it.
I don't at all.
I mean,
it
sounded like it did. It sounded
not at all.
Like,
let's play the tape back.
Okay, we'll play the tape.
Well, somebody pointed out the irony that it's Mario Run and Sonic Jump are the
games. That's funny.
It's like, yeah. How did that happen?
But yeah, you know, everyone knows what the premise is here at this point. You are automatically running. You're trying to get to the flagpole just like in any other Mario game. Or where the game shines is in this little collectathon that they have you do. There's five coins in the level. you have to pull off some sort of feat of platform in order to collect them all. When you collect all of the coins, it then unlocks harder coins that you can go after in that level. So it starts off with like these pink ones, and they become purple, and then they become black coins. Mm-hmm. And the black coins, of course, your hardest difficulty mode. And it really shows like that there's some actual depth to the level design, because the level doesn't really change. It's just the placement of stuff changes. So the coins are in different places. You have sometimes different gold coins placed in different areas.
But just in its pure simplicity, it's a one-button game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can play through it like
it's a runner.
Yeah, if you so choose. And just through the first three levels, it's not really all that tough. But it actually does a pretty decent job of mixing in some different mechanics. So you have your things like your power-ups, and of course you have your jumps. You got, so far I've discovered, of course, the mushroom, and you can also get a Starman in certain situations, which does exactly what it does in the Mario games. It lets you run a little bit faster, makes you invulnerable. Your jumps, like the amount you're holding down in your button press will affect the height of your jump. So you do get a bit of control, of adjustment in your jumps.
But for it is, there's no real touch to the jumps anymore. It's not like you really need to... Well, I mean, you need to have precise jumps, but you also need to plan your precise jumps.
It's right.
It's not the sort of thing where you can be like, I'm going to make this big jump and then taper back a little bit to hit this platform.
Right.
It's sort of like you kind of got to know where you're going.
Right. Because you're constantly moving forward, you're not able to pull back, change your momentum in any direction. You're just, once you have that jump, you know, you have agency over, you can let go of it and shorten your jump a little bit, but you're not going to be able to precisely pick your landing spot just based on directional input.
It, which is good. This is a game that should be played on a phone anyway, so you shouldn't have too much complexity. There should be some simplicity.
Right, and the hardware were certainly taken into case when they were designing the game, because, well, people are going to hold their phones in one hand vertically. They're not going to landscape it.
Because they're driving.
Right. Playing this game when you're driving. The bottom of the screen where you're pressing is not actually part of the level terrain. It is it's grass. It's you know,
you're not obstructing your own view. Yeah.
Right, by pressing it. So I mean,
yeah, some of these people with mobile games have gotten out of control. I mean, they're full blown RPGs and everything like that. I'm like, it's going to devour my battery. Why am I playing this?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a little extreme.
I'd be hard-pressed to find an RPG interesting enough to want me to make me want to sit down with my phone. Because it's not an ideal input device for a deep game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what DSs are for. Where were we? There are some other modes that I haven't messed with. There's like a rally mode where you can like compete for high scores with people. There's like this kingdom builder thing. And that's like a weird sort of economy to the game where you earn these tickets by beating levels, and that allows you to play in the competitive mode, and playing the competitive mode gives you more stuff to decorate your kingdom, and that essentially does nothing, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it does resemble vaguely the mobile structure of, well, you have to do this to get that, and that feeds into this, and that actually lets you play the game, except that in this game, the actual game is the first thing that you can do. This is a real, legit video game. Like,
it feels authentic, which is what's nice.
Yeah.
You know.
It feels like Mario. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it belongs in the Mario family of games.
Which makes you wonder, why is it so easy to render that on the phone?
Well, I mean, a lot of people have talked about how this might have been a rushed job because the backdrops just kind of look like painted JPEGs rather than full legit Mario levels. Mm. I mean, the game's constantly in motion. I haven't noticed personally. But, I mean, I also have very low expectations about what I'm looking at on my phone. The map for Pokemon Go is just a rendering of a Google map. Like, you're not getting or anything. It's fine.
Games can be primarily played in the bathroom, so I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting there and you're doing your morning duty.
Or at my desk at work.
Which I think is disgusting, people taking their phones in the bathroom.
Yeah, why not, though?
Come on.
You wipe, like, you wash disgusting. Your hands. The cleanest your hands are ever going to be is after you're disgusting. Done taking a shit.
What do you do in there? Like, don't you get bored?
I contemplate life. I have my great epiphanies about life while I'm in there.
Yeah,
wait. I just focus on me. And I go in there and I do what I know.
You jerk off while you poop, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh my god, that is vile.
Wow.
I did not want to know these
things. Well, you're just blasting one out. That's a part of you that's dead, you know. John told me that. That's a fact.
Yeah. So, I mean, this game does have a lot of one-star reviews on iTunes because of the price. People, I guess, feel a little bit
angry. Bring back Sega, they say.
I guess people feel a little bit ambushed by downloading this game for free, not fully reading the description, and then come to find that after three levels, hey, you have to pay for your fucking video games, you know, like real consumers do.
And how much is it? Like $10,
$10, right? $10, yeah. I mean, it's certainly not cheap for a mobile game. It's cheap for a real game, you know? This isn't like bargain basement shit. And I was thinking a little bit about this. I was actually expecting more pushback from you on this, Wes, but you're being silent on me. But I was thinking about the general business structure for mobile games. It is perceived, is quite exploitative. You create this game, using very loose terms, usually has one or two addictive mechanics that are done pretty well, but overall designed poorly, and then you pay to keep on playing.
Yes.
You get a lot of people to download your game, say 50 million, and then you're only really getting 1 or 2% of those people to put money into it. And that's how you make your millions. Not by a lot of people getting it, but by that very small group of people who just compulsively dump money into your game. It takes advantage of people's addictions. And it's a lot like gambling, actually, where... And that is some mobile developer companies' legit business strategies. How do we take advantage of the people who can't help themselves?
Because they know people are stupid.
Right. Now, what Nintendo has done is made a game that is going to give some people sticker shock who are not used to buying games. And I don't think their business strategy is all that different. They've gotten 50 million downloads for this thing, and I don't know what the official numbers are, but it's something like only like 2 to 4% of people have actually picked up the full version.
Which I'm happy that they released a 3-level preview before doing the $10. So that way people will know, yes, this is something I'm going to want to play. I mean, for a mobile game, $10 is a little steep.
Because of what you're used to.
But depends on how big of a scope they're doing on this mobile game, too, though. I mean, if it's going to be a massive, massive mobile game, then yeah, $10 is going to be worth it if this is something you're going to want to put a lot of time into. But in comparison to some mobile games, if it's a certain kind of length, then $10 is a little bit of a ripoff if you're only going to get, like...
I don't really know.
Who else can get away with this, though? That's the thing.
Nintendo...
They're sitting totally pretty because Nintendo is, like, the side-scroller. Everyone grew up playing it. It's going to look and feel right and be familiar. I mean, think of, like, what's that game? I'm trying to think of a comparison that would make sense, but, like, think of how good at RTS Blizzard is with StarCraft, right? Mm-hmm. But they're not the ones that make that Arnold Schwarzenegger... mobile game that I see commercials for.
Apparently is huge.
They're not even trying to do that. Because they have a real game that's played competitively for millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't want that mobile handheld market. But there's a company out there that's taken Blizzard money doing the most stripped down simple version of what that game is. Mm-hmm. So Nintendo's basically saying, we make the prettiest skin of this, we'll do it and we'll charge you $10. Who gives a shit about
which? I feel like for a mobile game, they should charge less because for a mobile game in itself, this is a really high tag for a mobile. You know, if they charge less, they would get a significantly more sale for that. I mean, $5? Hell yeah, I would do this for $5.
But then people get
nickeled and dimed though with all the other ones, where they're like, I'm going to spend $1 for this pack, but then I end up doing it 20 times.
That's what makes it so good of a thing. You're not getting nickel and dime. You're paying $5 and you're done. This is beautiful. I got this fantastic game.
In this case, it's $10 and you're done. And you know, I won't disagree with you that there are people who are going to get sticker shock. There are obviously people who are going to get sticker shock. I don't think that $10 is all that much money. But people who have been conditioned to believe that games they get on their phone should be free are going to see that as a lot of money.
No. I mean, as a person individually, for a game like this, I don't have an iOS, but I would pay $10 for this. I think that's justified. I just think they'd be significantly more successful in a mobile market if they just dropped it.
I'm sure they've had people do that analysis. Like, well, what are our sales going to be? What can we project our sales if it is this price? What can we project our sales if it is this price? I think in the end, Nintendo values their properties enough to where they'd be like, maybe we will lose out on some sales if we release it as $10. But we believe that our games have value, and maintaining that value is, goddamn it, more valuable to us than pushing all these sales. And I think that's, like, if we can learn one thing from Super Mario Run, is that there is that sort of integrity to what they do, even though they do very silly things sometimes, where they believe what they are doing is best for the art, even though they'll probably never admit to that.
Well, because the alternative is a time-based play currency, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah. where you have cooldowns and you get enough tokens to play games, and then you use the tokens to unlock the next thing.
Which is what a lot of investors and analysts want them to do.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm sure that's where you find your cow.
Like, and they're also going to put, like, a time stamp on. Like, you can get this many tokens to unlock things, but then you only can get 3 a day before yep. you have to wait for the timer to break down. Or you can $3 up. And or get a whole can pack pay of them. Up.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, oh, look at that, you're out Pokeballs, better buy some more.
And that's...
Because you're a dumb fuck.
And that's where you get... And that's where you get people who compulsively will play the game and put money into it just to be able to keep on going to get the next thing. To me, like, they might have done themselves a disservice by calling it free to start, because I don't think that people are... Especially if they don't pay attention to Nintendo.
If they just put don't free to try... Means. But they did the free to start to bait people in.
Or if they, I don't know if they're that aware. But they might just be too oblivious to know what they're actually doing.
I don't know. Given how predatory some of these other games are, like, that's the no, like you were saying, that is the noble thing to do. Mm-hmm. Is be like, here is the all you will ever have to pay for this game.
Right.
That's it.
And to me, like, ethically speaking, I think it is better for them to say, here's the price for this game. You will not have to dump more money into this. And they do the same. They do the same
unless
thing.
Unless we come out with the expansion.
Well, yeah, there might be an expansion. We'll see.
But then, the max money you'll ever spend on the game is $10, as opposed to someone that might spend $100 buying card packs for Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Or $200 buying coins to get Pokeballs in Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
I mean, there are free ways to do that. I don't think Pokemon Go is trying to exploit people, but. You have this game, and maybe it would have been better if they called it, like, a free demo. Maybe that would have braced people a little bit more, so they weren't thinking, I'm getting this free game, because I'm not going to read the rest of this description. And then they finish World 3, and you're like, hey, you can buy it for $10. Yeah, $10, one-star review.
For a mobile game, you're flipping through your phone, you're like, oh, that's free, let's just download that. You're not reading mm-hmm. the description at all, you're just going to download it for free and then try it.
Yeah, it's much more impulsive. Yeah. I don't think that's the way Nintendo wants to sell their games, to, like, get you on an impulse and get you to drop a dollar here and there on an impulse.
Well, maybe they should become a mobile carrier.
Maybe they should. The Nintendo
vertically integrate, if that's really what they want to do.
They're
at the mercy of Apple or whoever their apps, whatever app store they're buying.
Oh my god, the phone has a screen on the back. It looks like one of those Game Boy Minis, the back of it.
Oh,
with the D-pad and the buttons of the screen in the middle.
The GBA Micro?
The GBA Micro, yeah, that's what it was.
They're not going to make a phone.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. And the other side is a full-touch screen phone?
No, they have had a hard enough people to buy their current hardware.
You can stick a cartridge in the top of it? Oh my god, it could totally do this.
You're describing a handheld video game machine.
Yes, but it's also a phone!
What if you got like a, maybe
you're describing an N-Gage!
What if you got like a really, really early primitive smartphone and then just taped it down to a GBA?
That's like your... Get like a BlackBerry.
Yeah, perfect.
But anyway, I just think that on the DS, for example, there was the game Pokemon Shuffle. It was a match 3 Pokemon game. And it was free to download. And you could pay microtransactions in order to unlock more plays. It played more like a traditional mobile game where you had to wait a certain amount of time or you could give them money. But for this Pokemon game, this Smash 3 game, once you had spent $40 to get like the whatever in-game currency it was, the game was like, fuck it. You just have all the currency you want. You have reached the ceiling. They probably could have gotten more money out of people if they had taken a more traditional mobile approach. Yeah. But they're like, you know what? At a certain point, and $40 is that point in this game, like, at a certain point, like, you've given enough. Have the game. And I don't know. To me, it speaks more about them as an integrity of a developer rather than a lot of other mobile developers. It speaks more to them about, you know, maintaining the integrity of the art form. It's like, yes, this has value, and that value is $10. This is not supposed to be a cheap game.
I'm so surprised by that, though, that the reaction would be that. Because, sure, the point of entry is a little higher, than what you're used to, but like the ceiling is infinitely lower. No, okay. Go ahead. What's up?
No, that was a joke to the last podcast. You're fine.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you get the whole game. You don't have to deal with pop-up ads or offers for microtransactions. Like, that's it. Dude, it is essentially just you pop in your cartridge and you go, it's yours now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the other new game that came out this month was
Sonic Jump.
Shantae Half-Genie Hero came out on the Wii U. Amazon just got me my copy today. So expect more on the mini show. And when we talk about this game, we're also going to have an in-depth conversation about why you hate women, Wes.
And you describe what the other half of her is that's not the genie.
We've been over this. It's not that I hate them. It's that they hate me.
You're not going to get any better with that attitude, though. We're going to have an intervention for you, Wes. We're going to...
Yeah. As long as there's a banner, then we're good. Class of the balloons.
There will be.
You're going to a gun range.
Maybe some sure shots.
So also out on the Wii U eShop / Virtual Console. Oh, Advance Wars: Day of Ruin came on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Oh, how the fuck about that?
Yeah. Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon is also available on the Wii U Virtual Console. Who's that?
I don't know.
So wait, can we talk a little bit more about Advance Wars?
Yep, sure can.
Talk about a game that just eats your life away.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is the time sink and a half where you realize that 20 minutes have passed and you're taking one turn.
Yeah, I got
it. Fuck that game, man. It's so great, but God.
I think I spent probably about 200 hours on Dual Strike.
Yeah.
Because me and a buddy would play at work. Back when I worked at the airport, we would... Just have
and as you established, that's not even the good version of the game.
Right. A different guy who used to work there. Yeah. I don't work there anymore either. I don't know. Maybe he does work there again. Doesn't matter.
I don't know who Brian is.
But we just open it up and like play competitively. And you get mad because I would just always just spawn mechs and infantry rush him. You didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You took the Zerg approach.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a total turf war. Yeah. You need to spawn as much cheap shit as you can. There's a unit cap, and if you don't hit it, you're not winning.
He would keep on picking these tiny maps with lots of trees. Like, all right, well, your mobility is shit. Here come a bunch of mechs. Deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, also Metroid Other M is available on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Good game. Grab it.
Yep. Excitebots.
What?
Yeah, you can download Excitebots on your Wii U.
If you've never played Excitebots, buy it.
What a delightful game.
I don't care who you are, buy it.
That's in our top 15 Wii games.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah.
Excitebots is so good.
Kick the goal, hit the clown in the face.
I can't play right now.
Build a sandwich.
Build a sandwich.
Yeah. God, what a great game.
Oh my god.
If any of those things sound weird to you, you need to download the game.
They don't sound weird, because this is what half of you describe in your RPGs you play is usually somebody making food.
I'm just saying, if there was a way that I could force you to buy it, I would do it.
Just like everyone who owns a Wii U, download it to
their
machines.
They have to have it right now.
That only costs you. If the game is $20, that would cost you like $100.
Worth
there you go, that's everyone who owns a Wii U. I made myself sad.
Right.
It's me and you and three other guys.
You're talking about the Wii U. I'm sorry.
Also on the Wii U Virtual Console, Mario Kart 64 came out today. Time of recording here.
Hey, we're on.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And on the 3DS Virtual Console, you
did it a Demon's Crest. All right. Yeah. Is that at least, huh?
Yeah, you can download it on your new 3DS. And then Castlevania Dracula X, which I think is one you talked about, Ryan.
That was fucking rough. Yeah, was that Rondo of Blood or something like that?
I think Rondo of Blood was like the Genesis version, or the TurboGrafx version or
something. I don't think you were here for that. I played this game on emulator, and it sucked, man. It was rough. Yeah. Stairs. You can't jump on stairs. You walk upstairs.
Right.
If you jump off, you fall to your death.
Stairs ruin your mobility. Just
you jump
decimated.
Into something. You can fall to your death right now. Go ahead. Fall to your death. Everything you do results...
But the coffee table, you explode.
Like, yes, exactly. Yeah. All these hovering lights everywhere. Hit them, go ahead. You'll probably still fall to your death. God, the game sucked.
All right, so let's take a quick break and then come back with new releases.
New releases.
All right, so we have one game coming out in January for the 3DS.
Oh, are we live yet?
Yep.
Am I reading it?
Yep, and the Dragon Quest VIII coming to the 3DS, finally.
Dragon Quest always makes me think of Mark.
Why would you ever want to think of Mark fucking Prince?
I don't want to.
What a piece of shit.
I don't want to.
Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King. Take us away, Wes.
Uncover the story of the Cursed King as you save the world from a twisted magician in this genre-defining role-playing game. Yeah, I'm sure it's genre-defying.
You know, for the time it was. This is a remake of a PS2 game.
Still. Across the vast world, you'll wage turn-based battles against more than 250 monsters designed by famed artist Akira Toriyama. I butchered that.
Oh, that's the guy that's behind Dragon Ball. Yeah. And Chrono Trigger.
Yep, sure is.
I thought Akira Toriyama looks really familiar. As you level up, upgrade your warrior skills to learn mighty attacks.
That's an RPG?
Oh my gosh, that's definitely genre-defying right there.
You laugh, but a lot of
battle people... this garbage.
Untold possibilities await. Oh, yellow gorillas with wooden clubs and a bat mouse with a fork.
Is he presenting? What is this post about? He really wants it. Oh my god.
What the hell?
Oh. All right, good.
Please continue.
After setting off into the unknown, you'll find monsters roaming the field. These are no mere random encounters. There's a satisfying rhythm to traveling.
But let's be clear, they are random encounters.
Pretty much. Fighting monsters, earning items, crafting something useful with them using an alchemy pot, and returning to battle stronger than ever. To some, it's pitch-perfect RPG gameplay, complete with additional content outside the main storyline. To everyone else, it's crap.
Game is actually very highly reviewed.
In the monster arena, you'll form and battle teams of monsters to climb the ranks. It's but one of many features that make this RPG a classic among classics. Bullet points.
Bullet points!
A quintessential RPG from Square Enix.
If they say so.
Explore massive, beautifully designed world. Battle 250 different monsters designed by famed artist Akira Toriyama.
250 plus.
Plus. I forgot
so the like
plus.
Like 252.
My bad. Travel win turn-based battles, earn items, manage them, and grow stronger. Each character can learn unique attacks by upgrading skills.
Oh.
No random encounters. Enemies freely roam and chase you down the field.
Well, that's intriguing.
Monster arena, form and battle teams of monsters to climb the ranks. Okay, this is based on which one?
Dragon Quest VIII.
Which came out...
PS2.
PS2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure fucking Mario RPG did that way before they did.
Did what?
The freely roamed monster.
Oh yeah, lots of games did that.
They're making it sound like they made it up.
It probably was the first time in a Dragon Quest. Dragon Quest is very staunchly this traditional JRPG. Like, it is the mean. Like, this is the JRPG that other JRPGs branched off from. Maybe not this one.
What branched off of this game?
Final Fantasy. Now it's escaping me. God damn it. I just had a game on the tip of my tongue and now I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Chrono Trigger in some ways, not many. Earthbound and very heavily based on Dragon Quest. Shin Megami Tensei, very heavily based on Dragon Quest. And not necessarily Dragon Quest VIII, not necessarily this one, but like Dragon Quest, which was Dragon Warrior in North America, was the original RPG. Like not excluding like pen and paper stuff. Like this was the standard bearer for RPGs on home consoles.
Okay.
I have spoken at length about my love-hate relationship with Dragon Quest.
Are you gonna play this one?
No. No, absolutely not.
So dismissive.
I have tried several Dragon Quest games, and because they are so staunchly traditional JRPGs, the grind just hits you really heavy and really hard early in the game. And as alluring as some of that character art might be, Ryan, thank you so much.
so those are called boobs.
I'm aware of what they are. I've seen pictures.
You're aware.
I can't be suckered into another like 80-hour RPG where the battles just don't interest me.
Yeah.
If there were
but the monsters roam freely.
The battles are not random, which is, you know, interesting to
me. A character from Dragon Ball Z compared to a character.
I was just about to say, that looks like Dragon Quest. Yeah, that's the same. It's like that's the same dude.
Guy, right? Bald dude with amazing mustache.
That's the same dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think a guy like that shows up in Weapon Shop Deomase. I mean, Toriyama, of course, has this huge influence over just Japanese art style.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Clearly.
I don't know. I might have been more tempted to pick this up if I didn't already have a backlog of RPGs. I'm not going to add another RPG to the list.
Like, what's in your backlog right now?
Persona 3, 4. Persona 4, Final Fantasy 12 I want to finish, Suikoden, Wild Arms 2.
Do you want to finish Final Fantasy 12?
Star Ocean, Second Story, Star Ocean for the PS2, Chrono Cross. There's one on the Pokemon Sun. Yeah.
Final Fantasy 12? Why?
Because I own it, so
I'm
going to
lose a bet?
No, I'm going to finish it. You know what's going to happen, though? I'm going to restart it again. I'm going to get to the point where you, like, have to go through the town and, like, press all the buttons to tell them, like, one guy is still alive. And I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Why am I doing this? Why is this a mechanic
I'm
in this
the
game?
The sewer where you fight. You get the one guy that's supposed to be, like, some badass. You just freed him from jail. And you're in this sewer and, like, these bugs attack you. But it's just ridiculously hard for some odd reason. And I got to that part and I couldn't get by it. I was like,
I think
who cares? Like, I'm done with this.
I got just past. I have gotten past the part where you're going around telling them that guy is alive, and I'm not sure why I gave up that time. And something else probably came out that was more interesting to me. But I'm gonna give the battle system another try because after playing things like Xenoblade and Xenoblade X, I'm a little bit more open to battle systems where you don't control everybody. I don't know. We'll see, but. Persona 3 is first, and probably I probably won't get to Final Fantasy 12
There was a Persona game on your Christmas list.
Mm-hmm. Persona 4.
Okay, and so before you can touch that, you must finish Persona 3.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Persona 4 seems more interesting to me because you do have the option of controlling all your characters in battle.
Fewer personas, but better personas, right?
Is that...
That's what they say.
Okay.
I'm sure.
I'll go along with that. Anyway, there was one other game that was supposed to come out this month, but Darksiders War Master Edition seems to have slipped to an unspecified release date.
Was that like a remake of one?
Yeah,
not a remake, but a remaster.
Yeah,
it
came out on the other systems, but the Wii U version seems to have slipped. It might get canceled or moved to Switch. We'll see what happens.
You haven't played one, right?
Nope.
You've only played two.
Two is in my backlog as well. I want to play one because you keep on saying that one is more interesting.
I enjoyed one. Okay. I thought it was a good game.
I'm going on your recommendation.
It wasn't amazing, but it was definitely worth the play. It's good.
Put that on the box. Definitely worth a play.
Definitely worth a play. I think we said that last time we discussed Darksiders.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, one 3DS game, everything's quiet on the Wii U front. Maybe Darksiders comes out, maybe doesn't. But I think it's the end of 2016. I think we might be at the end of the Wii U. I don't know if we're going to see much of anything coming out for it until the Switch. Which I think was kind of expected.
Zelda's coming out for it.
Yeah, that might be a Switch launch in March. That might not be.
But they are releasing a Wii U version.
Yes, so far
they are. According to the trailer we just watched earlier, they're releasing a Wii U version.
They were also releasing that game in 2015. So we'll see. I don't think anything is written in stone until I see a Wii U version on a shelf. Okay,
why would you buy that? If you're gonna get the Switch, why buy the Wii U?
Right, I'm not gonna buy the idiotic. Wii U version. Let me rephrase. Until I see the Wii U version available on Amazon, because I'm not going to go to a store, I remain skeptical that it will be real. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I hope it is.
I'm going to the store.
I hope it's real for people who only own a Wii U and are not going
GameStop.
To be...
I have no problem with GameStop.
Okay.
Ditto, actually.
Yeah.
GameStop is all right. They may not get much of my money, but they do a decent job of being
a place where
I could spend money.
I got a Galaxy 7. And they have this Samsung Pay.
Is that the one that blows up?
No, that's the Note, and they discontinued it.
Okay.
They have this Samsung Pay where you can, like, save your credit card information, and it goes off the chip in the back, and you can go put it up to a scanner.
Nice.
And through doing this, they had, like, special offers and crap, and I got essentially $30 through Samsung Pay from awards. Some of it for GameStop, some of it just a plain Visa, which is going to be used for GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got another GameStop gift card, and then I got another Visa gift card. I'm like, I'm just going to buy games with this.
Nice.
I got almost $100 worth to dop on
there you go.
GameStop, and I'm kind of happy.
Nice.
you should get.
I'm getting Desire 2. Because I really, really want to. I think I'm gonna get Skyrim. So I can stream it.
You sucker.
So I can stream it.
Have you seen the prices on, like, have you ever just gone into a GameStop and looked at their DS selection?
Hmm?
If you have $30, you could probably get 60 DS games of varying quality, mostly Mahjong.
But I did look through the other day because my nephew got a 3DS, which apparently was also like the big item this year. Because of Pokemon. Like you could not find a 3DS.
Were tough to find.
You could not find one. My sister eventually got him a used one.
Yeah.
And it was like a miracle they had it. So
wow, Nintendo finds the weirdest ways to make money.
I don't know how, because they're not releasing products, so where does it come from?
Pokemon's on the moon. And Amiibo. Let's be real. Amiibo's been keeping them afloat.
Because they're not making enough of anything else to actually make profit.
You know, they have a mountain of cash, though. They're so cash rich that they can have bad years. I like to think that
somewhere, Miyamoto has a Scrooge McDuck vault. It just goes swimming in gold.
Yeah, they're really kind of like, Nintendo last, we don't ever talk about this stuff, but last like few financial reports, I believe they were in the black. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, after spending a couple of years in the red, but at the rate they were losing money, they would have been out of business in like 120 years.
There you go.
Yeah. I know we're bankrupt, but we can keep going. We're cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think
still more six of a little Rorschach.
Well, they've had a disaster of a console and then one that has gone years beyond what it should have with the DS. Like, DS has been the lifeblood of Nintendo, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And the Wii U was kind of a small scale disaster.
Like the original DS was like launched in 2004, and I think they finally, and the 3DS launched in 2011. So that thing was around for 7 years, and we're about to move into year seven of the 3DS because its 6 year anniversary is in March.
Yeah, that's so incredible. That's ancient.
Yeah, that's ancient. And it's think of like the PS4 and the Xbox One have already gotten hardware revisions. Like,
yeah.
And the 3DS has gotten a hardware revision. It's gotten like the new 3DS, but...
Oh, and the PSP what? No, never
mind. The Vita. Yes, the Vita.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
And, God, Sony hasn't discontinued it yet. And, you know, to the Vita's credit, it has a loyal fan base that buys a lot of games.
Uh-huh.
And companies that make games for the Vita find ways to stay in business and keep making games because that fan base that the Vita has buys a lot of games. That's the exact type of fan base you want to have on your hardware. Sony can't find a way to kill this thing. Like, I'm sure they want to, but...
Like, this is so embarrassing, but yeah. God, it's making money.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I would be stunned if Sony ever did another handheld piece of hardware. It's probably just consoles, and which, you know, their PS4 is doing great, and it's probably just consoles and like mobile stuff from this point out, because because the Vita, say nice things about the fans, but it's still the fucking Vita.
Yeah,
never achieved that mainstream success. Do you have a Vita, Wes?
I had the original PSP,
but not a Vita.
No, hell no. My God,
I remember your PSP.
Like, I may have low self-esteem, but I don't hate myself that much.
I think that's the end of the show.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Yeah. Next up's the Pokemon show. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think... Who's hosting? You're hosting?
I'm pretty sure I'm hosting.
All right, very good. What are we going
to
talk about?
I was just about to ask that. Get out of my head, Ryan.
There's some stuff happening in Pokemon Go. We'll probably have some wrap-up thoughts on Pokemon Moon, at least me and you will.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, if you have some time.
Oh, yeah, we do have wrap-up thoughts, because we didn't actually finish the game.
No, well, when we last talked about it, it was still new.
Yeah, in the beginning of the last podcast of the Super NES, you randomly hear me say, fuck. That was me getting my ass kicked by Red, because they did not give me a heal point before fighting him. I went in with 3 Pokemon.
Which is funny, because usually they are really generous about, like, oh, you're about to fight another battle. Let me heal your Pokemon for you.
Like, no, I just got out of this really rough trainer... double trainer fight thing, and then...
Well, you know, there's a decent...
All I had was, like, a Beak of Volt at full health, but his 2 good moves, Bug Buzz and Thunderbolt, had 3 PP apiece.
Uh-oh.
And then my Crabominable was at half health, and so was my Primarina. Like, I went into that fight with that.
I mean, I got into a habit of, whenever I've fought through a big battle, I would just open up my berry pouch. Like, everyone gets citrus berries. Just bring your health back up to max no matter how low you are. And here's a bunch of Lepa berries for everyone. I had like over 900 of the damn things. Just everyone heal up after every battle. Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm a walking Pokemon Center.
I've really learned the value of the citrus berry.
Mm-hmm.
Lepa is clearly number one berry. Number two, probably citrus. Yeah.
Because what does citrus do?
It heals... restores a percentage of health.
Mm-hmm.
Based on, I think it's like probably, you have to go below 30%, probably something around there, would you say?
To use it automatically, yeah.
You have to dip below a certain amount of health, and then you restore a certain amount of health.
Hmm.
So I want to say it's like probably
is it like percent of what you have left, or is it percentage of your max HP?
Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You could fully heal yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what I do just after every battle. Just instead of using potions or walking to a Pokemon Center, just everyone gets as many citrus berries as you want.
I need to do that next round because I blew a ton of money just buying hyper potions for shit because I didn't touch the berries.
Yeah. It's worth it, yeah. They're great.
I wouldn't, you know, cash. Oh, and we'll. God, we're rambling about Pokemon here. We'll get into some post-game stuff on the Pokemon show, but suffice it to say, cash at a certain point will never be an issue.
No.
Okay.
Like
so anyway, that's the end of the show. Till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.